Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother Richard. Glad to be here again.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Great to be aboard again.
And I know we've got a couple callers, so I'll bring them on and let you know when they call in. And I'll be tuned in and listening in.
All right. Thank you, sir. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the deliverance show about deliverance and those who have been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And if you have any questions about deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. All the information that we talk about night in, night out through the years is on that website. It's free of charge. Just go click on what you want to, any interest in there, and almost everything we talk about is there. Or you can get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox, which has basically 40 years worth of experience laid down. It's a basic manual for deliverance to help people overcome those things that are hindering them. And if you want that book, get a hold of Richard at the office at 307-742-7582, and he will get that sent out to you. And we do thank you for joining us. And here we are again, Pastor. Good to have you with us again.
It's amazing how quick the weeks go by, isn't it, Ralph?
It does. It sneaks up on us. Time keeps moving. Yep, it moves quickly, but it sneaks up on us. Pastor, if you don't mind, I have a scripture I'd like to read.
Sure.
All right. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope, and our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power, empowering in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. And as I read that this evening, I thought about the labor of love, and that labor of steadfastness, the labor of Jesus Christ, with the power and conviction of the gospel and the Holy Spirit, goes on every Monday night at Deliverance Ministry. And all those people that are fulfilling this scripture right here. And this is exactly what they're doing. They're fulfilling this scripture with the faith and labor. And they're setting people free. And how do they set them free? with the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, how awesome it is to see the power of the Holy Spirit. Once I tasted of the power of the Holy Spirit 40 years ago, I could not go back to my old, routine-ish type church. I wanted to see the action, and I found a church that was the Holy Spirit was operating in, and the same kind of power that we see these days, setting people free and healing them, and that's where I started learning about it 40 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But it's funny how it is. 1 week, 1 month, 1 year goes by, one at a time. Next thing you know, it's 40 years.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord someone shared it with you, because if they had not shared it with you, some 37 years later, it would have never gotten shared with me. So I give thanks to the Lord for that. And since we were talking about those, working in faith and labor and steadfastness, why don't you give us a little update on this Monday?
Well, it was a really big Monday. We actually had 30 on the list, but we wound up doing Richard Peterson in the office there, told me the final count was 21, and we wound up having, we were just shy one minister. So it was a great evening, and I ministered to a man from Kansas City that actually is going to be coming on at 9:35 and sharing, so that'll be exciting. But gosh, it's been a busy week for me. On Tuesday, I had a really exciting case, a homosexual. He had called a schedule, and he wanted to change. He was tired of it, this bothering him. And I was able to get the head demon up, which was a deceiver. His counselor came with him, and it was a great ministry session. And he got the Jesus overhaul. And what was amazing was how his voice, his mannerisms changed in the course of the ministry session. In just 2.5 hours, he'd already gone through the videos online and the door closing. So we got right down to business when he came in. And 2.5 hours later, he got his Jesus overhaul, and his voice changed, his mannerisms were different. It was so awesome. And I just praise the God that we can see this kind of thing happen, that somebody, yes, shared with me, and we start doing it, and we keep sharing it with others, just like yourself several years ago. So high action. And then I had an 18-year-old college student this morning, and that went very well. The deceiver had done a job on her, in fact, of lying in her head, and she was buying the lies to a pretty high degree. We got that worked through, and she got set free. And then tomorrow was two people flying in from California for private ministry at the office, and one of my team leaders is going to help me with that, and we'll minister to those two people. So It's a busy week.
Praise the Lord. You know, talking about that, the gentleman was a homosexual come in, I give praise for that, because I think that's one of the hardest spirits, just from reading the scriptures, that one can overcome, because of the fact that it says Lord gives him over to the depraved mind. But that mannerisms you were talking about, I remember reading years ago that mannerisms is so... of course, the scientific world wants to classify it as a mental disorder. We all know it's a spirit that comes upon them, but that spirit's categorized by that effeminacy in them. And I could almost guess that the effeminate mannerism that was what was coming out of him, and a change in his voice, to even have that lisp that a lot of homosexuals have goes with it, and I think that's a spirit as well. So as you were explaining that, I could almost see the effeminate mannerisms, the lisp, and the kind of the flamboyancy came out of him, and that's a
yeah, that's it did. It did. And of course, it's only hard because people have to choose to want to change. He was ready. I love ministering to people like that. He was ready to do what it took, and he decided he wanted to be free. But people mm-hmm. have to decide, and there are people that move into the homosexual circles, and they have friends, and it's become their lifestyle, and they they have a hard time changing because they don't want to change. So, but whoever is ready, Jesus is ready. Hallelujah.
That's right. And there's not a spirit out there that the power of Jesus can't overcome when the person has the faith and those operating know the power that they're in. And it's a shame that that the world just doesn't know about this. But that's part of what this show is. This show is out there to give testimony. These things can be done. They can be done in the name of Jesus. It isn't set or bound by doctrinal limitations. It's the gospel. The gospel plan was to cast out demons. And that was what we were commissioned to do. It's what we were given authority over to do. And this is the great thing about this show. It just gives so many testimony of that. And that testimony overcomes the enemy because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony when those come hand in hand, hand in hand. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So, yes, all that drives us on to do it again. You know, if we heard it didn't work, we'd quit. But the reason we've all kept doing it is because we keep hearing these testimonies of how people's lives are turned around, and God used little us to do it. That's the amazing thing. It's normal Christianity, not a special gift thing at all. After all, it was Jesus that commanded believers to do this. So if you're a believer, a born-again Christian, you are commissioned to go forth in his name and do this. John 14:12, another one that I love, where Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also." So we're to do it in his name. We have this power of attorney in which to do it. And I still have to pinch myself on that one, Ralph, that it's so amazing that God has given us this amazing power to do his works. How amazing is that?
It is, and it's very, very humbling. Very humbling to think, to sit back, and we read those things. We read those things laid out in the gospel that Jesus did. We read those things laid out in the book of Acts that the apostles did. And that little old Ralph from the Ozarks, little old Everett from Central Oklahoma can have this. They didn't have any more authority, any more power, the apostles, than we do. I think the only thing that they have over the majority of Christians today is they understood that power and they walked in it. And then when we understand that power and walk in it, we are just as powerful as them.
That's exactly right, because the word is still there. The word performs itself when a Christian speaks it. That's another amazing thing. We all want the anointing as much as we can, but we find, nevertheless, as a Christian speaks the word, it performs itself. It goes forth to accomplish that for which it is sent, not returning void. So that's an amazing step to take when you realize that, yeah, we want all the anointing we can get, but the reality is, like on Monday nights, everybody comes from their work, and it's been another busy day, and nobody's probably prayed up, no one's fasting, and yet here we go. Suddenly we're in a deliverance situation, a deliverance meeting, ministering to people. And what we find is, yes, the word performs itself as Christians speak it. You know, once a person gets hold of that, it's an amazing thing to realize and to apply.
It is, and it's also part of being in ready in season and out of season as well. I had a chance to minister to someone, Tuesday, and I guess yesterday. I guess today's Wednesday. So, she was dealing with grief because she had just found out. I mean, she was on the phone when I came up and just found out that someone had passed away she knew and loved, and she was talking about how some of the family members, there was bitterness and this and that, and I was able to witness to her the comfort of the Holy Spirit, being the great comforter, to ask and you shall receive. But most of all, she was harboring a little bitterness towards somebody in the family that had done something wrong. And I talked to her about just speaking the simple words, "Well, I forgive," I don't remember the name, but "I forgive Sue and I bless Sue." And you could see it clicking with her. You could see the truth of that clicking with her. and before I left, just a few minutes, she was like, "Wow, that really helps. I'm going to do that. I am going to do that." So
praise God.
Praise God. No pat on my back. Just trying to give a testimony out there for encourage people. Pastor, we have Constance on the phone. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Yes. Hi, Constance. I'm excited you called in.
Well, thank you. Thanks for asking me to be a part of your show this evening. I really appreciate that.
Yes, and Constance, you might back up from the phone a little bit. It distorts, we've noticed, when you get too close or get a little loud in the phone. So if you could back up just a little bit. Well, why don't you go ahead, Constance, and give us some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance, and then share any experiences you'd like to.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to make sure, I'm just talking through my headset, so is this any better, or do I need to get off the headset?
No, that's good, just as long as you don't talk too loud or too close to the mic.
Okay, all right. Well, I was raised in a large Nazarene church here in Oklahoma City since I was a small child, and I remember always being taught stories about God and Jesus and just always loving them, and I don't remember ever not being saved, so I know I did accept the Lord as my Savior from a very young age, and I was blessed also with a deep faith at a young age, and at 16, my youth minister told me that God had shown her I had the gift of discernment. And it was in college that I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God blessed me with that gift as well. And
praise God.
All these gifts are helpful when relying on the Holy Spirit to minister in deliverance. I would say that for sure.
Yes. Yes, well, go ahead and give us some more background on yourself and then how you did learn about deliverance.
Well, several weeks ago, even before that, I was going through a very painful divorce, and a friend of mine told me about a book called Pigs in the Parlor by Frank Hammond. And I read that, and my friend and I stood in the gap and prayed for that marriage to be healed. And God had different plans for me. Thank goodness. I'm glad he did. And years later, I was talking to my mother on the phone, and I was telling her, we were talking about deliverance, and she said, "Well, maybe God is calling you into that." And so I got online and I started looking for a place to go. And when I called my mother back to tell her about a place in Texas, she said, "Well, there's someone right here, Everett Cox. You need to go see him. I met him years ago." And so I got online and looked up Everett Cox and went for deliverance the next Monday night. And I just felt like I needed to go. I wasn't sure why, but I felt like if there was anything in there, I'd been a believer for a long, long time and been a very committed believer, but if there was anything I needed to be delivered from, I sure wanted to see about that. And so I went in for deliverance, and two wonderful ladies, Joanne and Cindy, were my team and worked with me. And when I got ready to leave, Cindy said to me, "Well, you need to come back next Monday night." And I said, "Oh, for more deliverance?" And she said, "No, you need to come for training. Come to the war room." And so I did. And that was over two months ago. And it's been a great education. I first started watching as a team leader, worked with people in ministry, and I would sit and pray for them as they were working together. And then one night we had a lot more people show up, and so Everett asked me to take to minister to someone, and I did. And I it was the first time that I wasn't really sure if I knew what I was doing or not, but I just bowed my head and prayed a prayer and asked the Holy Spirit to take over and to give the words to be spoken that the person I was ministering to needed to hear. And, you know, they kept saying in training, God made you fully equipped. And so I just believed in that. And if I got lost, I just bowed my head and prayed again. And at one point, the lady I was ministering to asked me if I knew how to translate, if she prayed in tongues. And I said, no, but I'll get someone. So I went over and asked Richard, who's the pastor there, and I asked him if he knew how to, and he said, no. And I said, is there someone who could help me? And he said, they're all ministering. Everybody's busy. And he said, but you can do it. And I said, I can do it? And he said, yeah, just ask the Holy Spirit and to show you. And so I went back and I asked the ladies if I could pray with her, and we held hands, and I just asked the Holy Spirit to translate and give her what she needed to hear. And so as she prayed in the Spirit, I kept hearing, you're not to blame. It's not your fault. And so I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you the words I'm getting. And I said, I don't know what they mean, but you let me know if you know what they mean. And so I gave her the words as she continued to pray in the Spirit. And she nodded her head up and down as tears just streamed down her face. And it turned out that God had really put a call on her heart to pray for Israel and what was happening with guns. And so that helped her get through what she was struggling with as she was praying for Israel and as she was being delivered of the things that she was delivered of that evening. So does that answer your question there?
Pastor, well, Everett. Praise God, yeah. And how good did you feel after the ministry session? But you were on a high, too, Constance.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't go to sleep till 2 or 3 in the morning. I was so excited. It was just
also
wonderful. It was really wonderful to,
as I mentioned to you,
see people come in one way and leave another. I'll never forget the first team that I was on. The young lady that came in for ministry the next week, I mean, as she was going through deliverance, we had to get a trash can for her, and she was spitting up this stuff as she was being delivered. She was just spitting into this trash can all this stuff that was coming out of her. And the next Monday night when I came for training, I was sitting in car talking on the phone, and she came walking in front of me and bounded up the steps. She was there for training. And it was just incredible, the difference in her. So, I mean, it works. Deliverance works. If somebody is a believer and they have done the door closing prayer, the ministry leads them through, then they're wide open and can receive the healing that they need. It's just, it's miraculous. It's absolutely miraculous.
And Constance, as I had mentioned to you, you do such a good job of following the steps. That makes it easy for any minister because those proven steps that we've learned over these years will, you know, get the person to the goal line pretty much every time. So you've been really good at that. And of course, what you mentioned is where the teams have come from. Really, all of the ministers have been through deliverance themselves, and then they realize when they got free that there's lots of people around them that have these same kind of problems: fear, anger, rage, depression, addictions, etc. And and so they have a compassion to want to help and learn how to do it, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they become, they go through the training and become a team leader. Hallelujah. So it's high adventure, isn't it?
it's such a great opportunity, and each person that I've been able to minister to on Monday nights, I've said, please pray about if God wants to bring you into this. You know, if he wants you to be a part of the deliverance ministry, we'd love to have you back, and please come for training. If God lays it on your heart, we really want you to come be a part of the team. And so I got a call a week and a half ago from the first person I ministered to by myself, and she said, I'm still praying about that. And she wanted me to pray for her. She called me. She was on her way to Dallas, and she wanted me to pray for her husband, who was going through some very painful things in his current job. And so we prayed if God wanted to take him out of that job and bring him into a new position. And so we talked for a little over an hour. And so it's amazing what can come out of when you're ministering to people, that it could lead to friendship and all kinds of neat things on top of the deliverance, which is just the greatest part of it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all a real blessing.
Yes. And what an evening we had Monday night, Constance. What was your thoughts on that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we'd gotten the email of how many people, you know, Richard and Everett send out emails saying how many people are coming. And so when I saw that number, I just started praying because it keeps going up. And so I just prayed on the way over and just asked God to bring all the people to minister to the people who were coming for ministry. And I went into the basic training for my last hour of basic training. And then as we went, and there were a few people there for the basic training, well, quite a few people there. In fact, there were two or three new people. But when it came time for advanced, I mean, people just started pouring into the war room. And I was just flabbergasted at how many people showed up. I mean, it's the most I've ever seen. And we just had the best time worshiping together and getting ready to go. And, you know, always before we go out to minister, Everett comes in and prays over us, and we go through communion together. And then Richard blows the shofar. And is it Renee that Renee Michelle that blows the other shofar?
Right. And they harmonize in pulling down a stronghold.
Yes.
They harmonize.
Yes.
And when they sound off the shofars, we're commencing spiritual warfare and declaring victory as we. This is all over on the team side, and at that point, then everybody goes over to where the people have come for ministry, and they've gone through the teaching over there and the door closing prayer, and then it's time to bring the ministers over. And we had a big group. It worked out quite good. We actually had 30 on the list, but at the final, once the smoke cleared, it seems that we did 21 cases. Constance, 21 is what Richard's final count was. So it was, it was a big evening, and there must have been a lot of cars in the parking lot.
there were a lot when I got there. So the people for ministry were there. The parking lot was very, very full. So I knew it was going to be a really exciting evening. And there was a family there of seven people who drove in from Virginia, and I ministered to a member of that family. And it was interesting. We were kind of struggling a little bit, and she was very young, and So I asked her questions, and I said, well, did you come here just with your family, or did you really want to be here or come here yourself? And she said, yes. And I said, well, what is it that you really feel like you need? Even though we'd gone through the ministry report and she'd given me a lot of information, she started talking about generational curses. And so, and when I first saw her, I could see tears in her eyes, like right behind her eyes. And while we were talking, I kept feeling like we were hitting wall after wall, and I finally said, she said, I feel like I'm going to start crying. And I said, I can see that. Are you afraid to cry? And she said, no. And so when she said she wanted to go after the generational curses, she told me what she thought they were and how they'd been passed down through her lineage. And so I said, well, let's hold hands and let's pray. And I said, and you lead. And she, her eyes kind of went wide. And I said, you lead and I'll follow and come in behind you, and we'll break those generational curses. And so as she began to pray, the tears began to stream down her face. And it was like she finally got to cry for what it was she wanted to cry for, the sadness for her family. And we broke those generational curses. And when we did the alignment test, you know, the body alignment test, her hands were completely aligned, her feet were completely aligned. It was amazing. And then I asked Jerry, who's one of the team, who's incredible with, he has a real healing ministry, and I asked him if he could come and pray a creative prayer over her, because I couldn't find the page on one of the diseases that she had. And so he came and prayed a creative miracle prayer for miracle over her. And it was just, it was beautiful. And at the end of the night, the family were outside on the steps waiting for the mother, who was the last one to be released from ministry. And they were all so happy. It was great to see. So it was a beautiful evening. I'm really, really happy to have been a part of that and get to see so much healing going on in that family alone.
Oh yeah, that is beautiful, Constance. And you know, to be in the middle of this and to see the supernatural happen, it sure drives a guy on to do it again. As I was saying earlier, once I tasted of the supernatural and saw the Holy Spirit's power go forth and purge these spirits as we speak in Jesus' name, it was just, I couldn't go back to my old coffee and donuts that I was involved with. I wanted to see the supernatural action.
Well, it's like you said, they got the Jesus overhaul.
Yes. And I've had 40 years of this action now, and but you know, it goes back, if somebody hadn't shared
with
me...
Well, don't stop now, you're on a roll.
Well, I'm not. I'm as long as I can walk and talk, I'll be doing ministry, praise God.
Praise God.
It's so fulfilling that I'm on a high that usually lasts 2 or 3 days. And, of course, I'm doing one about every day.
It's fabulous.
I'm on a huge high.
It does make you want to come in and do it, you know, to minister again and again and to be surrendered to whatever God's calling you to do. And I tell you, there's such a need for this, that if there's anyone out there that feels a need for deliverance, I hope they will contact you and Deliverance Ministries and come for healing and then come and learn how to be a part of the team, because the numbers are growing and God wants to equip his army, and we're all a part of that. We're all a part of
that. Yes.
You've clearly shown me that, so I'm very excited about that.
It's kind of neat, Constance, isn't it? We're all from different churches, You know, we all have mm-hmm. our own churches that we go to, but we're just the body of Christ versus the enemy, a special commando unit, and it seems, in the body of Christ, ministering to the church at large, and that's how we find ourselves, and it's pretty exciting. We're all Christians getting after the enemy. Hallelujah. Well, as we wind up here, any last comments to say to the people before we sign off with you?
Well, again, if anybody needs deliverance, don't hesitate. Really contact, go online if you want to. If you don't know how to get a hold of deliverance, look up Deliverance Ministries, and there's the information on the website. And if you want to come from ministry, there are wonderful, really wonderful, caring people who are there to do God's work and give, you know, for God's kingdom, for His highest and His best. And so don't hesitate. Don't wait. I would really say don't wait. You know, do something. If you're feeling that pull in your heart or like God speaking to you about that, really, really listen to that and be aware and come. We would love to see you. We'd love to help you, and we'd love to minister to you. So that's what I have to say.
Constance,
thank you so much for having
thank
me.
Thank you so much for thank calling you. In and sharing. God bless you.
Thank you. Oh, God bless you all, too. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
And, of course, if you can't make it to Oklahoma City, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. There is a self-ministry there to help you through it. You can get the book, which you can also go through with self-ministry. Or you can get a hold of Richard at the office number. We have men across this nation here that are getting trained, and hopefully we'll get more trained as the Lord works with us. So maybe there might be someone in your area that can get to you and help you. So because we know that not everybody can just go to Oklahoma City. So you know, that's why we're doing this. That's why we had the website. That's why the book's available, and that's why men are trained. But Pastor, we have Steve on the line. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Hi, Steve.
Thank you for having.
Thank you for calling. Yeah,
sure.
Really excited that you could call in. Steve's up in Kansas City, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite a ways from Oklahoma City, but you came down recently. But first, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Steve, and then when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance. And I know you've been actually twice for ministry, but if you could share that after you've kind of given the history and all. So why don't you just go ahead?
Okay. Well, I grew up in the church, and I actually got serious about following Christ in 1985. And, you know, it was a struggle to do what Christ wanted me to do, and it just always seemed like I was dragging a boat anchor through the sand. And then some things happened in April of this year that I just really decided to pursue the Lord just as seriously as I could. And part of that journey was learned about deliverance, learned about you know, the gifts of the Spirit that are obviously discussed in the Bible, but most of the preaching I'd never heard never included that stuff. And
yes,
actually was down there back in May, and didn't feel like it took real well, and so I went back down there this recently and took my father and my uncle and two of my sons. They all received ministry and all got a lot out of it.
Yeah, awesome. And when you first came, the minister apparently skipped some of the inner healing, wasn't it, that you didn't receive?
Yes. Yeah.
Did that seem to make quite a difference?
Well, yeah, and the way I experienced it as I was going through the ministry, it just felt like there was a weight in my chest, and as we went through the different prayers and stuff, it just felt like that weight just kept getting peeled off, kind of like an onion gets, you know, layers of the onion, and now I feel real good, and it's even taken some time to adjust to feeling this good, if that makes sense.
Well, that's, you know, sometimes, you know, if people are like that, they have to get used to the real them, you know, without the hindrance of those spirits, and it's such a different feeling, but I think most people adjust pretty well, pretty quick, you know, and of course,
yeah.
You just came this last Monday, so it's only been a few days since you got your overhaul, so...
Yep.
What changes have you noted? Can you get more specific on it?
Well, one of my demons was self-doubt and self-loathing and stuff like that. And I've just been able to concentrate better and not, my thinking hasn't gotten drug around like it used to. You know, it seemed like I just wouldn't be able to concentrate and focus, and I would just think about all sorts of different things besides what I was supposed to be thinking about.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
And of course, in the process, the step you missed before was the inner healing step. The minister skipped over it. Did you notice that made a difference?
I definitely have, and I would say that just helped me calm down and not be so agitated and stuff like that.
It's pretty exciting how Jesus will take those bad feelings of the past from certain events, traumas, or memories, and when he takes them supernaturally, he actually takes them. Hallelujah. So, what'd that feel like?
Well, that was pretty amazing. And I've prayed a lot about a lot of this stuff over the years, but it just didn't seem like it really was taken away until I went to deliverance. It's, and there wasn't any crazy stuff that went on, but the results are phenomenal, and that's exciting.
Amen. We did get the head demon up, didn't we? Oh, no, we didn't. I remember now. I did not with you. I've done so many of them the last couple of weeks, I get them mixed up. But we did basic deliverance and just worked the list, and you felt quite a few of them come out, didn't you?
Yeah, there was just an additional piece with each one. I don't recall specifically feeling anything physically, but just emotionally and in my spirit, I could just sense that they were leaving.
Yes, and of course, we normally get several dozen out. Do you think we hit that many?
Pretty close.
And
real close.
Generally speaking, any one spirit that comes out, the person will feel a little better, you know? And then you get another one out, they feel a little better yet. And by the time you've gotten a dozen out, they're feeling much better. And you get several dozen out, well, they're really feeling good. That's kind of the fun of doing this. We've seen that happen so many times, and where people at the end of the ministry, they'll say, I feel lighter. Did you notice any of your family saying that came down with you?
Well, my dad looked younger. He's 82, and he looked younger. And now that you bring that up, I actually got lightheaded, which I thought was very interesting. so, and not in a bad way, it just was such a relief that, yeah, I sensed that I was lightheaded. But everybody enjoyed it. My, you know, my dad's 82. I was really kind of concerned if he would, you know, be able to pick up on it and benefit from it, but he really enjoyed it. In fact, he's already talked to several people about, you know, the concepts and deliverance and what he got out of it, so I'm real excited for him.
One thing, it was kind of funny, Steve, you guys from Kansas, Missouri, and he's, I guess, from Illinois, but your group, we're sitting on the front row, and I couldn't help but notice that when I was doing the teaching, it was like your dad, the enemy was trying to take him out, and his head was dropping down. You remember that?
Oh, yes. It actually was kind of frustrating me. I sent him a text. I'm like, did you drive 5 hours of sleep? But, yeah, and then it seemed like when he'd wake up, it would go to the other end of the aisle, and my uncle would be dozing off. It was, yeah, kind of very interesting.
Well, of course, you had driven 5 miles, and that's, initially I kind of thought, well, he's just exhausted from the trip. But then I'm thinking how I have seen that from time to time where the spirits actually try to take the person out through dozing so they don't, they can't engage, you know, they're not hearing the teaching and they miss a lot of it. So that's one attack the enemy can use. And I don't know if that was the case with him, but he sure engaged later. He was really pumped, and I visited with him afterwards. So praise God. Have you heard any other reports from the members of the family?
Well, actually my 8-year-old son, you know, we weren't sure he was going to be ministered to, but he was excited about the prospect, and he did it, and he was actually talking to his sisters about his experience, and, you know, I thought that spoke volumes for an 8-year-old to come home and, without any prompting, share what he experienced with his sisters.
Yeah, that is exciting. I didn't get a chance to really visit with him afterwards, but praise God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe, are you thinking you might try to learn more about this now, over? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in fact, my the other son that was there, he's 25, he kind of feels called into the deliverance ministry, and you know, feel that call somewhat. So yeah, we're going to learn about it, and hopefully we'll be able to be on a team somewhere and give back the way that we've received. We're excited about it.
Well, I'm sure it's open season up there in your area. Would you say there's quite a few people around you that need it?
Oh, yes, yes, there really are. And I think the Lord's moving in a new way and helping people understand that they need something like this. I was really pleased with my father and my uncle's openness even to, you know, the fact that they might benefit from deliverance. I wouldn't have guessed that,
yeah,
with them, you know, a couple months ago. But we're definitely going to learn about it and, you know, see what the Lord has in store for us.
Did you get one of my books while you were down?
Actually, yeah. My dad and my uncle bought one, and I'd already bought one on the website before. We took it down and read a little bit on the way down, even. And that was very, very good book, the parts that we've read already. Very good stuff.
The steps, you know, that we go through are in there. It's a book manual. So you can take that. Those steps are so time-proven to work. Any Christian can can just use those steps and do amazingly well with the majority of people. And you can literally minister to thousands of people and do quite well if you just use those steps in there. So that is something. And then another thing, the training that's on, that is the video that's on the website, is like a training thing too, if you want to watch it that way. It's designed for people to receive ministry, but you actually can go on there and learn the basics of those steps right on the video on the website.
Excellent.
You can even use a cursor and back up and, you know, go forward as you need to. And so it's a good training tool.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate the way you are willing to share these techniques and strategies with other Christians and just expand the ministry way beyond what you could do first. I really appreciate it.
You know, I never set out, Steve, and set up a business model on it. Or a business plan, it just happened. It just happened. One step at a time, and what we've done these 34 years on Monday nights, it just happened, you know. It's rather amazing. You know, in the business world, you'd have a business plan and all that, but we haven't had any of that. It's just the Lord has just coordinated it. And it really works well, and nothing that we have is copyrighted. You can print off anything you wish to use and get after it, praise God. So, yeah, you're in good territory up there, there's no doubt. And more than likely, I'm not aware of anyone up in that area that's doing this kind of ministry in the Kansas City area. There may be, but I don't know of them.
Yeah, I think I've heard of one other guy, but did on one of your testimony videos, did I hear where you had come up and done a training up here in Kansas City or something? Or did I misunderstand?
Say that again. I didn't quite understand.
Well, I thought on one of your testimonial videos, they talked about how you had come up to Kansas City area and done
No, I haven't been up there in a ministry session or teaching or anything. So it wasn't me, maybe some other ministry.
Okay, well, I must have misunderstood. But yeah, so there's a lot of people up here that need it, for sure.
Yes, they're everywhere, actually. And of course, as I often say, we have not worked our way out of Oklahoma County yet here.
Right.
We got a ways to go. Well, yeah. Steve, in winding up, do you have anything else you'd like to share or tell the people that are listening?
Well, I didn't tell you this earlier, but I'm a software engineer, and I've done that for over 25 years. And so things not only need to make sense in my world and my way of thinking, but they need to work also. And I just am really blessed to have found this and to have been able to work with you. And I just encourage anybody that really has some areas where they're struggling and they can't get the victory, just try this. They have nothing to lose. You know, if you make it so easy and comfortable, relatively, you know, we all have little fears going into it, but you and your people are just so humble and gracious and spirit-led. It's just really an enjoyable experience overall.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And blessings to you and your family up there. And look forward to seeing you again. Maybe you'll bring others down before too long. Well, have a good one, brother.
Definitely have a cousin and another son in mind and a second cousin that we're hoping to get down there.
All right. Well, let me know and we'll get them on the list. God bless you, Steve.
Sir.
Thanks so much for calling in and sharing.
Yes, you're welcome, Everett. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was some good testimony this evening.
Amen. And yeah, he just came Monday.
I know.
In fact, I ministered to him Monday night this week. So they've just barely gotten back to Kansas City and all.
Yeah, that's fantastic that he's able to come on with such confidence, which is what happens when a lot of those spirits are cleaned out, that you don't have those fears and those hang-ups anymore. And, it's just awesome. So, again, if you have any information you want about Deliverance, go to deliveranceusa.com. Almost anything that any questions you have can be answered. If you need more information, call Richard at the office, 307-742-7582, and we will get what we can out to you. The book is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that at Scriptures for America for a $20 offering. And we do thank everyone for joining us this evening. It's been another fantastic night. We give thanks to you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us to be able to come on each week and give the testimonies out here. So, Pastor, I say good evening to you, and say good evening to everybody else out there. Have a great night.
And God bless you all.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you. Nothing
will harm you.